Hi everyone, welcome back to Her. Thank you for joining us today. We're so happy that you make time in your day to listen to our podcast and to join us. Today is another fellow feature. We will be featuring Jade. Jade, welcome to the fellowship and to the podcast. To start off, can you give us a short introduction about who you are, how you got to where you are, and why you applied to the Ansi Carter Fellowship?
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me on, Emily. My name is Jade Cho. I'm a third-year medical student at the University of California, Davis. My interest in global health began in high school when I worked on a research project related to interventions for vitamin A deficiency in sub-Saharan Africa. I went to college thinking that I wanted to explore global health, and during my first year at Duke, I was introduced to the work of Dr. Paul Farmer and Partners in Health in a class taught by my mentor, Professor Catherine Adme. The first piece that I read by Farmer was an article called Rethinking Health and Human Rights, Time for a Paradigm Shift. And in this article, he discussed the need for pragmatic solidarity, or as he described it, the rapid deployment of our tools and resources to improve the health and well-being of those who suffer from structural violence. He wrote about how doctors are natural attorneys for the poor and that a health angle can promote a broader human rights agenda. And in parallel, our class was learning about how PIH changed the standard of care for multi-drug resistant tuberculosis in Peru by proving that second-line drugs that were previously deemed unsuitable to be prescribed in low-resource settings could actually successfully be deployed. So as a part of this case study, we read an article written by folks that would later become my mentors. And this discussed a double standard in global health. And this was just such a light bulb moment for me. I was totally hooked. And I knew from that moment on that I wanted to be a physician who was also an attorney for the poor. And I wanted to challenge the status quo and prove that the highest standard of healthcare could be implemented in low resource settings. So during college, I worked on a number of global health projects on community nutrition in northern Argentina and mosquito-borne disease in rural Costa Rica. I became very involved in Partners in Health Engage, which is the grassroots advocacy arm of Partners in Health. And I also worked with the program for non-communicable diseases and social change at Harvard Medical School. After college, I spent 2 years at Advanced Access and Delivery, which is a global health nonprofit based in Durham, North Carolina. And I helped implement and manage tuberculosis and COVID projects and collaborated with Socios en Salud in Peru, the Global Fund and Ministry of Health in the Republic of Georgia, and local public health authorities and homeless shelters in Oklahoma City. During my time in medical school, I've been able to continue my passion for global health, both internationally and locally. I was the co-director of a free student-run clinic for low-income and uninsured Asian immigrants in the Sacramento area. And I spent many of my weekends working primary care and cancer screening clinics, as well as organizing a cardiology and pulmonology specialty clinic. I served as the president of the Global Health Student Interest Group at UC Davis and also and currently on the leadership for the Global Surgery Student Alliance here. And during my first year of medical school, I was lucky enough to have been selected as an American Medical Women's Association ANSI Carter Global Health Fellow. And I applied to this fellowship because I wanted to find a community of women who shared my passion for global health. And I'm really grateful that I found that. My fellowship project is titled Feasibility of a Symptomatic Screening Program and Endoscopy Capacity Assessment for Early Detection of Gastric Cancer in Roatán, Honduras. And my mentor is Dr. Cameron Gaskill. We're collaborating with a local clinic in Roatán called Clinica Esperanza. And I really love this project because it combines community-based care and using simple, repeatable tools to help increase the number of people that we can bring into the care cascade. I'm really interested in chronic disease management and taking a systems-based approach to think about how patients can navigate through multiple levels of the healthcare system. I just started my third year of medical school, so I'm still exploring specialties. However, I found myself thinking a lot about how to build operating rooms or catheter labs in low-resource settings. So currently, I'm interested in surgical and procedural specialties, particularly surgical oncology and interventional cardiology.
Jade, thank you so much. It sounds like you've been super busy and have been doing a lot of amazing stuff. Your journey here is really inspiring. I really like what you said about physicians getting to be attorneys for the poor. I think that that's really insightful, and it shows a lot about kind of why you went into medicine, why us who work in global health go into medicine. I was chatting with someone who's a friend and like a listener the other day, and they were talking about how medicine really is the kind of foundation of a lot of societies. And so getting to go in there and kind of go in there with that kind of view rather than just treating a disease or treating an individual, I think is like really important. I also think that like you talking about Paul Farmer totally resonates with me because that was really my introduction to global health too. So I think Partners in Health and all of that that you've been involved in is really impactful work and such an amazing thing that you got to be a part of. And congratulations on starting third year. I know that's a big change, so good luck.
Yeah, congratulations to you too. We already conquered a couple of overnight shifts, so
yeah.
We're getting ready for what's to come.
So I would love to hear a little bit more about some of the biggest lessons that you learned either being part of Partners in Health or in any of the roles that you've held in Global Health so far or in part of your project. Mm-hmm. Really whatever you feel like sharing with us that you think would be important for listeners to hear.
Thanks for your question, Emily. I think two big lessons come to mind. The first lesson is to be adaptable. Oftentimes when you're out in the field, when you're in low resource settings, things don't go according to plan. Equipment breaks, there are kinks in supply chains, funding gets cut. I'm a natural planner, so as I've gone along in this journey, I found myself having a plan A, B, and C, and then being okay with changing course as the situation does. One example that comes to mind actually concerns the current project that I'm working on for the AMWA Fellowship. Essentially, we're trying to screen people for stomach cancer and then refer them to endoscopy, which is the diagnostic test. When we first began this project, there was a clear pathway for referral to endoscopy for our patient population. However, in the last few months, those previous options have no longer been viable. So this research project that was originally designed to assess barriers to care for endoscopy is actually turning into a capacity building project. One thing we're actually looking into is purchasing the endoscopy equipment ourselves and then training local surgeons at the public hospital to do endoscopy so that there's a long-term capacity for this service on the island. The second big lesson, I think, is that global health is a team sport. Medicine is a team sport, so play whatever role your team needs you to play. When I was a program manager for advanced access and delivery during the pandemic, I helped transport germicidal ultraviolet lights across Oklahoma City. And this wasn't necessarily something that was a part of my formal job description, but I was happy to get into a rideshare with as many lighting units as my arms could carry because that was just something that was needed at the time. And I was helping to run logistics of this project. By being a team player, I also ended up learning a lot of skills that I never thought I would learn. Also, when I was in Oklahoma City helping to implement COVID programs, one thing our team needed was for someone to map where emerging hotspots were so that we could better target testing. I never used ArcGIS or another mapping software before, but I was determined to learn how to use it so that I could better serve my team.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I totally can relate to you about being a planner. I feel like a lot of us medical students are type A. And so having a plan is ideal. And like you said, it definitely doesn't always go to plan. In OB, that's the rotation I've been on for the past few weeks. Mm-hmm. They say the best birth plan is no plan. So just having a goal in mind of like having a healthy baby and having a successful delivery is like mm-hmm. the end goal. And then knowing that you have to be adaptable and have to kind of prioritize what your goal is going to be rather than the details of the plan. So mm-hmm. we're important as well. I know you mentioned your mentor earlier. Is there a specific mm-hmm. global health public figure or mentor that has guided or inspired you you'd like to highlight today?
Definitely. I think that I've already mentioned a few major influences for me, and it's really hard to pick just one because I've learned so much from a whole team of mentors and influences. As we mentioned before, the writings and speeches of Dr. Farmer and the work and values of Partners in Health have always deeply resonated with me. Catherine Adme was my first global health professor, and she's since become a lifelong mentor and friend. She's taught me to look at global health through a human rights and policy lens, and since I was 17, she has not stopped challenging me and pushing me to search for more creative solutions that can get more care to more people. The article on double standards in TB care that I read during her course in my freshman fall that convinced me that I needed to devote my life to global health was written by Tom Nicholson and Salman Khashoggi. who later became my bosses at Advanced Access and Delivery. And I know everything I know about global health implementation from them. Tom gave me opportunities to explore my interests and manage my own projects that I don't think I would have gotten anywhere else. He taught me how to engage stakeholders and manage relationships among collaborators and understand how policy affects individual patients. I also learned so much from Dr. Jean Buckman and Dr. Paul Park from the Non-Communicable Disease and Social Change Program at Harvard, Drs. Virginia Byron and Jonah Kroniski, who I worked with in Oklahoma City in COVID programming. And I'm so beyond grateful to my mentors at UC Davis School of Medicine, Dr. Cameron Gaskill, who has encouraged my budding interest in global surgery and really pushed me to grow as an independent researcher, and Dr. Fred Myers, who's the program director of ARC-MD, which is the honors research track that I'm a part of. And he is the best career mentor I could have asked for, and he believes and supports me in all of my goals. So I've been really lucky to have the team that I do, because it really takes a whole team of people to mentor a student.
Yes, definitely. Just like you said, being a team player and getting to be part of those teams is so important for global health, because it does like take so much and take a lot of learning and adaptation and that kind of thing. So thank you. They sound very inspiring. We'll see if we can have a few of them on the show. Last question. If you have one more thing to say to the audience to get them as passionate about global health as you are, what would you say to them?
I feel like it's only fitting, given this conversation, that we end with a Paul Farmer quote, right? So my favorite Paul Farmer, or one of my favorite Paul Farmer quotes is, if access to healthcare is considered a human right, who is human enough to have that right? And I think this is a quote that would really resonate with anyone who's seen someone fall through the cracks of the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. One of the things that brings me greatest joy in life is talking to patients and really seeing their humanity. And it's so, so undeniable to me that each and every one of these patients who I've spoken to, whether it be in Sacramento, California, at the student-run clinic, at a homeless shelter in Oklahoma City, or a humble home in rural Honduras, that each and every one of these patients has the right to the highest attainable standard of healthcare. And when critics would refer to progressive global health programs as being unreasonable, unfeasible, or unsustainable, in many of his speeches and writings, Dr. Farmer would refer to these critiques as failures of the imagination. And this idea that every challenge in global health is solvable if we use enough imagination and creativity and grit has really inspired me and kept me optimistic all of these years.
Jade, I love that. And of course, I'm always here for a Paul Farmer quote. I think it's really important that you mentioned like healthcare and like how big of a part of care that is. And I think especially us as medical students, and I guess this is kind of a call to action to our fellow medical students, remember that sometimes you have the most time in your day rather than like the physicians or the residents to talk to these patients and hear their stories and get yourself motivated by them, because you're probably the only one that's going to have the time to listen to them or have the energy to listen to them. So that just keep making sure that we keep medicine human and understand humanity and how that impacts somebody's healthcare and that impacts their life experience as a whole. So thank you. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. It was a pleasure. And we will see you all next time on HER.